Oh, we're back. Oh my goodness. I'm a changed man. I have grown as a person. My life is forever forfeit to the wives and changes and changes and wives. Welcome back, audience. Welcome back. All right. Today, we'll be talking about Columbo. Aren't you guys so excited? Aren't you guys so pumped for Columbo? Columbo's going to be such a fun time. Columbo's going to be such an interesting experience for all of us. Columbo. Lieutenant Columbo, why are you in the washroom shitting yourself?
Well, the missus tells me she it's a long story, really. It's, I don't know. No, Columbo, really, I'd love to hear what.
Columbo, please let me know.
Well, that really just bothers me, you know? The fact that you didn't tune in the independent incidentals on Radio Laurie, that really bothers me. You know what happens. You know what happens when this happens to you, right? You know what happens. Oh, and one more thing. Click the link down below. You won't regret it, trust me. My wife, she always tells me. Gee, what's this with this independent in the independent? You know what I'm saying? I can't even pronounce the name. That's crazy. Well, I'll let you to it. I hope you enjoy. Please.
Welcome back, audience. Welcome back. I'm just making the Instagram story right now since
somebody was a bit late with their show. Well, I'm not gonna point fingers, but you can predict who that was, particularly pros and cons, perhaps a recording booth. You know how it is. Columbo episode. That's the interesting thing. Why am I doing a Columbo episode? What's the deal with that? You might wonder. Let me just, you know what? Hold on, the audience. You can take five. You can take five for now. I'm gonna make the reel. Okay. I'm not a multitasker anymore. I'm not a multitasker. I've gone beyond that. I'm a changed person. I'm a changed man. I don't multitask anymore. It's not my thing. Here's a problem. I try to do the Columbo voice. It doesn't work all the time. That's okay. Yeah, that's great. I think that's not bad. For what it is, the Columbo voice, it could use some improvement, but I think I can just do a Boston accent. That's pretty much it. That's my entire claim to fame at this point. But we'll see how it goes. Let me just double check the show. Just to make sure I'm not talking into the void right now. Radio Laureate Umbro. Please. Thank you. Very good. Let's hear myself real quick. Ready, audience? Let me turn myself up. Let's hear myself real quick. Ready, audience? Oh, it's me! Hello! Hello, me! How you doing? Let me turn myself up. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. He's doing it.
Oh, it's me! Hello! Hello, me! How you doing?
It's him as well. Look at that. He's coming in. Wait a minute.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it. He's doing it.
That's crazy. That's him again. Oh my gosh. That's crazy. I mean, I couldn't be. How are you doing, by the way? I just wanted to. Can I get your autograph real quick?
Oh my gosh.
From a Dominic to another Dominic, I'd love to get your autograph. Could you please? Could you please? I'd love to. I simply love to.
From a Dominic to another Dominic, I'd love to.
The pleasure's all mine, really. I would love to give you your autograph to me, from you to me. I'd love to.
No, the pleasure's all mine, really. I would love to give you your autograph to me, from you to me. I'd love to.
That's stupid. Why would you say that? That makes absolutely no sense. I don't know why you would even begin to say that.
From you to me. I'd love to.
That's stupid. Why would you say that? That makes absolutely no sense. I don't know why you would even begin to...
All right, shut up. All right, we're back, everybody. We're back in full form. Welcome back to Independent Incidentals with your pal, Dominic. Ladles and germs, we've abandoned the video game genre. No! No more roguelikes. We're talking about a show? What, have I become bankrupt? What is wrong with me? What happened? What happened to the flair, the passion for the video game? Well, don't worry, audience. Again, if you weren't here before, I'm sure there will be some sort of, perhaps, hosted thing, perhaps, maybe? Just hold on to your horses. Hold on to your horses, and we'll get to there. Don't worry. Sometime in March. Put your calendars down. Put your planner, your yearly 2024, 2025 planner down, and write down ... interview? ... inside of your brochure that I provided you. I'm sure you got it in the mail, right? If you gave me your address, I'm sure you got it in the mail. Besides the point, let us begin the show. Why am I talking about a show? Well, we gotta do a switch. Look, here's the thing. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Let me recap what happened during reading week. I was like, wowie wow, I got a lot of projects to do. What fun. I can't wait to do them all, right? Okay, and then I kind of hanged out with some friends for a little bit, and I got carried away with a few board games with my family. What, are you coming out of me for spending family time with my family? Is that what you're doing right now? You seem a little bit, what's the word, like, a little bit of a prick, maybe? Sorry, I didn't mean to cast names, cast shadows of doubt on you, the audience, but I'm just saying, I wanted to hang out with people that I don't normally hang out with in person. So I did that for the first half. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And then the storm hit, right? Couldn't go really outside at all. I had to hike through the snow to get to the nearby second cup to hang out with my boys, right? What are you going to do about that? Then, Wednesday, what's around, and I get sick, head cold. My nose is a fire hydrant full of mucus and snot, and my head is throbbing like there's a tiny little gremlin inside with a gigantic mallet constantly beating to the beat of a drum. Post it in the comments if you get the reference. Point being, I was busy and I was sleeping through most of reading week. Granted, I still try to get myself out there to talk to people that I didn't get to. New follower, thank you. You know who you are. New follower, appreciate it. Appreciate you tuning into the show, 100%. Definitely tuning into the show right now. But you gotta respect the grind. I was pretty much, like, debilitated for most of that time. So me trying to muster up enough strength to get off my ass and actually go and do stuff, that's the trick. So, gotta give me a little bit of credit here. Hello, thanks, Instagram Dominic, I appreciate it. Let me just put this down real quick. I don't know how much this is actually going in, because I am frazzled. RadioLaurier.com/independent incidentals if you want to listen to this show after it's done, which we actually don't need, I just realized. We want people to go actually get to the show right now, live. Welcome, live listeners, to Independent Incidentals. Radio Laurier, Airtime Pro. If you're listening off the show, not live, recorded, RadioLaurier.airtime.pro, and you can listen to the show live when it comes out on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Come if you're interested. Stay, because you love it. So, the main other thing I did while I was very sick and debilitated was watch this show, a fun show called Columbo. It was a really good time. We watched pretty much the whole first season. Half of it was watched already during the winter break, and we picked up the other half during reading week when everyone was still in. And apparently everyone loved this show, because here's the fun trick. It's a murder mystery show, but it's not exactly as you would think it is. Bababoo. Also, I want to take a quick break, because bada bing, we're going to be hot in March. If you weren't here at the start of the show, again, we're going to be hot in March. We're going to be so full and ready and presumptuously exquisite. So please come to the show on March specifically to tune in to see. I will be posting on the Instagram a week prior to the festivities, so whenever that occurs, please tune in. Without further ado, though, let's get into the show. What is Columbo? How did it get started? Columbo is a murder mystery detective show that got started in 1968. The brainchild of two people, two writers, who worked for NBC, I believe. Richard Levinson and William Link. They wanted to create a show that was sort of an inversion of normal detective mystery shows, however. They had an idea of inverting specifically the British trope. If you can already tell, every damn detective, dating all the way back to Sherlock Holmes, had this sort of pompous demeanor to them. A style and a flair that they couldn't get rid of. Specifically, think about Sherlock Holmes, right? He's fitted to the nines. He's always wearing some sort of suit. Always ready, always to the nines, right? But also deep down, he has this kind of impulsive desire for drugs, which is something I just figured out like a couple days ago, which is crazy to me. I guess, look, I mean, all power to Robert Downey Jr. and his Sherlock Holmes interpretation, but I don't think, when I watched like a quarter of that show on the plane and then turned it off because it sucked terribly, I don't think I saw him do drugs. Maybe he had like a little compulsions in some sort of way. But there's other shows that kind of go in depth with that. The main idea is that they have this sort of compulsion, and also they have this sort of style to them that they can't really, like, they use this sort of style to get in and worm their way into. Like, it's a sort of a charm, right? Columbo also has a specific charm, but in another way. It's specifically with his inquisitiveness and his specifically kind-heartedness, I would say. But let's talk more about who they were looking for. They were expecting an older actor to get in the part of Columbo. They even rolled around the idea of getting Bing Crosby to do it. Or someone like Bing Crosby. I don't exactly know who it was. But I think if they went with that, I don't think the show would have stuck. I'll be honest with you. Peter Falk has way too much love to the role. From what I've seen from all the interviews and stuff like that, to give it to anyone else. So I think, even though he was a bit younger than what they expected, I think that this was a perfect role for Peter Falk, specifically with Columbo. So now we're getting back into airing the show, right? There were two main pilots that aired in 1968 and 71, which led NBC from the rave reviews to release monthly episodes. Tossing around how long they were going to do it for. And how the durations between each episode, Peter Falk specifically campaigned for doing monthly because they got a better product from it. And damn, they were right. So they got monthly episodes from there on out until the 1978. That was the first 7 seasons of the show or something like that. And then the show ended. However, there was a few spinoffs. We're not going to talk about those. Mrs. Columbo specifically. We're not going to talk about that one. I think it kind of just completely dissolves the character of Columbo in a lot of unfortunate ways. Later, Columbo came back in 1989 and 2003 for some odd movies that they created between that time, 1989 and 2003, which they kind of compiled to make this mystery movie collection, which they just call Seasons 8 and Seasons 9. Now you're caught up. Peter Falk, from what I've seen, he just loves the character of Columbo. And there's a reason for that. We'll get into this right now. How does Columbo even structure, though? That's the first thing we have to cover. If it's an inversion of a regular crime, then it also has to be the inversion of the plot as well, right? Exactly that. Well, good job, audience. I give you a round of applause for that. Usually, a crime detective show is called a whodunit. Who was the one who killed Mr. Green in a linen closet with a rusty screwdriver? I don't know. Did I say a clue reference for no reason? Absolutely. But in this case, in Columbo's version, there is an inversion they wanted to achieve. A more aptly named How Ketchum. Pokemon catch 'em all. Pokemon. Columbo. He would make a great Pokemon, I'll tell you that much. Like, every Pokemon, as you should know, repeat their own name, right? At least in the TV show. Imagine Columbo coming out of a Pokeball and saying, Columbo, Columbo, you know what I'm saying? That'd be sick. But that's not exactly the case. In a How Ketchum, the difficulty isn't necessarily the clues themselves and how they fit together to reveal the culprit, but Columbo already knows who the culprit is in a lot of these cases, because they are very suspicious in a lot of ways. However, since these people are very hard to catch, Columbo has to put these pieces together to pin the criminal rather than prove the criminal, right? What I mean is that the criminals, usually once they realize they're being caught, once they realize Columbo's on the case, they try to shut themselves in because they have the perfect alibi. They're able to hide all of the or most of the evidence. So they try to shut themselves in, make a barrier between Columbo. But Columbo has a lot of fun little secrets, little sneaky little tactics he likes to put and sprinkle in. Basically, the idea is to make them unassuming and assume that he is incompetent in a lot of the ways that he portrays himself. Peter Falk was able to do this seamlessly, not only in his in the actual script itself, but also in his little mannerisms. Like, every single specific mannerism that half of the mannerisms that Columbo does is just Peter Falk kind of ad-libbing and making the culprit, the actor, actually have to come up with their own thing. Let me give you a quick example of this. Like, a lot of the time, Columbo has a small vice of smoking cigarettes, right? Cigars, specifically. So, a lot of the time, even apropos of nothing, not off the script completely, he asks the crime suspect, hey, you got a lighter? And then, not in the script, the actor has to kind of, on the fly, like, oh yeah, here you go, Columbo. And he's like, oh yeah, that's a fancy lighter. And it just kind of goes off on these kind of completely side tangents that have nothing to do with the actual crime itself, which lulls them, the usually rich and arrogant people he has to catch in these perfect crimes, into spilling more than they realistically would or should. What's a good example of this? Dang. I wish I could remember exactly. I'm going to get to my favorites, because I'm not going to spoil them until we get fully into the Columbo-verse. But Columbo's wife specifically is a key topic hitting point that he always talks about. There's a few other fun apropos of nothing moments, some scripted, some not. Like, for example, Columbo's wife, I think, is kind of half and half. It really depends on who's writing the episode, right? But he always goes off about, like, oh, yeah, my wife, she always loves chili. God. We always go to this spot, right? And she loves the chili here. Normally, she hates the chili, but right at this spot right here, she loves the chili. Have you been to this chili before? I love this chili. It's the only place my wife and I can actually eat chili together. That kind of stuff. It just continues going off those tangents, which I love so much. They're just so wholesome, you know what I'm saying? And we'll get to the reception of how people took Columbo and took it to the modern day. and how also my mother specifically watched this while she was in Poland. But another fun catchphrase Columbo has is once he's done kind of quote-unquote interrogating the suspect, he goes back and he turns around and he's like, oh yeah, one more thing. My whole family is like, oh, he said the line! He said the line! And I love it so much. Because I watched this show back when I was in first year, specifically. Right? The idea, right, how I found this show specifically, right, was through a voice actor. I believe his name is Gianni Matragranto. Gianni Matragrano is a voice actor who also voices a bunch of video games. So it kind of does tie back into video games in a very specific way. Gianni Matragrano has a full YouTube channel that he semi-frequently uploads to, where he just kind of voices random characters like Duke Nukem. His character in Ultra Kill, Gabriel, which I will maybe possibly cover in the time coming. We'll see if I have the time. There was a recent update for it, so I might get into Ultra Kill again. We'll see. And one of the iconic characters he always voiced was Columbo, because he did a very good voice acting of him, and he was able to do, kind of merge all of these kind of niche... It blew up in Tumblr initially, right? A lot of people began to discover Columbo through Tumblr, which is very interesting. There was a kind of small microcosm of a fan base devoted to him, which eventually spread out into different sections. 4chan, unfortunately, and a few other places, like Twitter. And Johnny was able to voice act as this character and kind of add a modern flair to him. Like, for example, there's one specific example I remember. What was it again? There's this concept of Tiny Columbo. There was a Twitter account called Tiny Columbo or something like that, where he just started talking about, like, esoteric example of Columbo being shrinked down to the size of an ant, and from his perspective, talking about, like, I'm talking to this guy up here, and I can't even reach the damn doorbell. Or, for example, murder weapon, paper climp. Go watch it. There's a whole playlist. You gotta watch these. This is genius writing, not in the brain rot way, trust me. I guess there was a little bit of brain rot, and specifically in one specific example where he's talking about the mango vape? Absolutely busting, sir. On God, no cap. For real. That is... You didn't hear that, audience. You didn't hear that. I gotta remind my... Hold on, let me write that down real quick. Swear at... Oh, no. This is the first time this ever happened. Oh, no. I'm gonna get reprimanded. 2330. Oh, no. They're going to be on my case about this. I said the F word and they're going to be on my case about this. No! How is it the first episode I don't talk about video games? It's like the exact opposite. It should be the exact opposite. I'm saying gamer words, and then I somehow wasn't able to hit the cue time event perfectly on point at that specific moment. Apologies, audience. For any 5-year-olds listening, you didn't hear that. Don't tell your parents I said this, of course. Either way. A lot of modern flair added to a very old, almost, no, yeah, it is 55 years old. A 54-year-old show. It's crazy. It's wild, right? Columbo is a generational talent, and that goes with Peter Falk as well. Now, also, there's a fun little, I like to talk about the music a little bit, because I'm a bit of a music guy myself. I like talking about music, right? I do like the Columbo theme, because it just hits so well. Let's take a little listen, all y'all. Let's take a little listen. Now, a lot of the music is very kind of, it's that 70s kind of late 60s style, like rewinding the tape, right? Adding a bunch of reverb and random, like, kind of vibraphone twangs when someone is like, bling. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of underground sort of idea of a mystery show. I like it a lot. Let's take a listen.
You know what the crazy thing is? None of these are the ones I was thinking of. I thought both of these were the ones I was thinking of, but they're not the ones I was thinking of.
Maybe I'm just thinking about the season one one, right? It goes... But these ones are also pretty exemplary in their own special ways. Talking about vibraphones, theremins specifically.
Oh, man.
There was a different time back then. You could get away with this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You put a theremin, it just sounds cheesy. But back in the day, this stuff was like the prime time. This was it, you know? This is exactly what they were experimenting with all of this kind of mystery theme song stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to describe it. Beyond that... But yes, I believe you should also go check out all those clips from Gianni's channel. Those are fantastic. There's a full playlist. I don't know. I might link it. I might not. I don't really care. They might cut out my stuff. So I notice a lot of the time when I'm just a little side tangent. A lot of the time when I'm writing descriptions for episodes down, it kind of cuts off after like the 100 character word mark. What am I trying to say here? The 200 character limit. Thank you. Gosh, I cannot speak for the life of me. All right. Here's another thing, too, right? I was so pumped because I wanted to do this episode. I was like, ah, Columbo, so fun, right? And I was like, I had the disc for Columbo, right? Season 3, because I finished season 2 back in first year. And I finished rewatching season 1 completely, so I'm pretty much up to date with all that kind of stuff. I wanted to move on to season 3, right? So I had a disc that I got from my parents. From home, I got the DVD player that I also got at the start of the year, which I never tested out before, right? So I was like, bro, let's give it a shot. And I put the disc in, and it doesn't load. I spent like 2 nights, up until midnight, tweaking with VLC player, trying to figure out what codec it's using, changing the region specifically on the DVD player. I'm furious, man. I can't play my favorite Columbo discs. And I'm pissed. So I got it to a point where I'm able to play the discs now. But it comes out pixelated. Like, Columbo's all distorted. Half the time, he doesn't even show up. I can hear the audio perfectly fine, except it's all choppy. Like, it keeps stopping and starting and stopping and starting. I'm furious. I'm genuinely so pissed. Like, I wish I asked everybody. I went to all the forums. I even asked ChatGPT, God forbid. Like, I lost all my dignity asking ChatGPT for as much as I talk about how you shouldn't use ChatGPT for anything, right? I used it, and I still didn't even get the damn answer, which is kind of a more testament on how it doesn't even work half the time, right? It's just how it is. It's just how it is. And I'm bummed. I might try it one more time tonight. But hopefully, I'll update you. Maybe I'll get some episodes up. All right? The main thing I wanted to end this show on was going through... Now, this is obviously going to be spoiler territory. But we're going to be going through every single season one Columbo episode sequentially, episode, tier list. Oh my goodness, there it is. Season one so far, thank you. Create this tier list. All right. All right, so yeah, it has everything in order. Thank goodness, because I would not want to organize all this. Okay. Let's give it a shot. We'll start with... I think the first two episodes were the pilots, right? And then the other seven episodes of season one were the actual content, the main episodes. However, all these episodes run for at least 60, even 70 minutes. Like, these are full, pretty much short movies at this point, right? Let me just pull up Columbo season one, Wikipedia. Columbo season one. Here we go. Here's the thing. So, first episode, murder. I don't think. Does it make sense to go through the first two? Does it make sense? You know what? I don't see why not. Let's give it a shot. Okay. So, Prescription for Murder was the first Columbo that was published, or at least played by Peter Falk, right? I think it was, yeah, Bert Fried was the one who played it for a 1960s episode, right? Back in 1960, and eventually they found it in 1968, they got the first movie, Prescription Murder. Probably, it came out on such a strong foot. So they had Dr. Ray Fleming, who was a psychiatrist, who murdered his wife, and had a kind of mistress, secret lover to cover up by pretending to be his wife on the plane, and then goes away. Perfect alibi, because they look pretty similar with the dress and everything, right? The idea in this episode was that they were able to, again, spoilers, if you want to watch it, watch them all, buy the disc, please, I need someone to talk to about this show, please, anyone out there, please, I need to watch Columbo with somebody other than myself, please. The main idea was that Columbo was able to lie to the mistress that the doctor killed himself, which then caused her to confess for him. Columbo likes to lie about things occasionally. That's the fun thing, right? He's very polite up front when it matters. This is the only time, I think, that he actually gets pissed at somebody, right? Because I think they were still trying to figure out his character, how, you know, that kind of stuff. So it kind of was the blueprints to create Columbo, but they were such strong blueprints that it just kind of flourished into this beautiful menagerie, and it was the first time I actually watched this show, this episode, specifically. I think it was during winter break, so my memory's still a bit fuzzy about it, but still a banger. I'm going to put this in S tier. Maybe not the most strongest S tier, but it's still S tier. Now, Ransom for a Dead Man, I don't even remember, so it's not getting S tier, I'll tell you that much. Yeah, I don't remember this one. Apparently, the murderer murders her husband, a lawyer. So she's a lawyer who murders her husband to get his money and arrange it. Oh, I remember the tape. Yeah, so specifically she forged the tape to make it look like he'd been kidnapped and so that she could take the money and run. But obviously Columbo was able to get in there and sneak in a little bit of... Because the money was dropped from an airplane, I believe, or a helicopter or something like that. So because it followed the quote-unquote hostage taker, whatever. This one gets a B tier. It's not the greatest. I didn't like that one too much. It kind of dragged on for a bit. It was fun at the end, specifically when Columbo was able to put all the pieces together and pin her for it. But, you know, it just kind of dragged on a bit. Murder by the Book. Now, this one's interesting because this was the first actual episode that was released for season one, and it was directed by Steven Spielberg, which is crazy to me because this was during his kind of early directing career, right? This was not like when he was at his peak in the 90s when he released Jaws and all these like blockbuster hits, right? Steven Spielberg, at his early in his career, started writing like these small kind of short movies, right? Which Columbo kind of technically fit under. So, Murder by the Book. This one is a banger. The idea basically is that there were two people on a writing team, right? One of them did the writing, one of them did the publishing, right? And one of them wanted to leave the company, or the writer wanted to leave because they realized that they didn't want to write for this murder mystery story book anymore, right? Fair enough. Unfortunately, the guy, the publisher, wanted to keep getting money from this, right? So he murdered the writer in his own secret little private cabin in the woods, like 3 hours away from LA, right? And the whole idea surrounded around this is the first. This is one of the only episodes that have two murders involved, right? First murder was the guy. Second one was the witness, who was a convenience store clerk who was up on the road to the cabin, right? Who saw the writer inside the car while he was driving them up to it. Because the whole kind of alibi was that he was going to take him up to the cabin, right? Or he was going to take himself up to the cabin, not pretending that he was not there. He was going to call his wife, right? And he was going to kill the guy inside the cabin, right? But the convenience store clerk knew this. So she was going to be able to, like, blackmail him, basically, for the money. But then they got drunk, they got a little, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he killed that store clerk and made it look like she drowned in the lake, right? Columbo then figures out that they're connected, obviously, but didn't have any evidence to pin it on, so it was another dead end. So he had to find another way to pin it on him, but eventually found that the whole sequence was written inside of this writer's office. The whole idea, the premise of this murder, was written by the writer of this murder mystery story. It's so genius. It just wraps in it on itself perfectly. It's kind of like a meta story. I talked about that a little bit. If you want to talk more about meta, you can. Eventually, I'll upload the one for the Stanley Parable. So you can check that out whenever it comes out. Apologies. It might take a bit. I had no time. But this one obviously gets an S tier because I just love it so much. You know what? I think I gotta swap these around. I think Prescription for Murder gets an A tier because it's kind of still on the far end. So it's in between S and A, I think. And Murder by the Book is solid S tier. That's like the perfect start for it. Death Lends a Hand. Now, I believe this one, the private detective agency had the, there was this powerful business magnate who wanted to suspect his wife for cheating on him. The private detective agency was able to cover it up for a little bit of a give me back from the wife. She was going to give some information to him, but she did not agree. And from the private detective guy, what was his name? Carl Brimmer, killed her out of a fit of rage and anger. The interesting thing here is another little thing where Columbo likes to do little mischievous tricks and lie to the culprit, right? Because you can already tell that he's sniffing. He knows this guy killed this guy's wife, right? He just needs a way to pin it on them, specifically, right? So, throughout the thing, they kind of just, like, he's just kind of jabbing at him slightly, like, oh, I heard that they got, like, a guy with a ring on his left hand, right? And you're left-handed. And he's like, no, I'm actually ambidextrous, and etc., right? The little back and forth, it's just so tantalizing to watch, right? But at the end, specifically, the thing that gets him is that Columbo, playing a little trick, knows that the ring was supposed to be on his hand, right? But the ring specifically was also lost. He didn't have it on his hand, right? So the idea was that he was going to lie to them saying, oh yeah, we got like a, if the ring is not there, then, like, on the body, then it has to be lost somewhere, right? So he's like searching for this ring that the wife, the corpse lost, right? Throughout the carpets in his house, and he looks into the car, but the car is in repair. So he has to sneak into the repair shop and try to find the ring, and then Columbo's like, ah, got him, boys. It's so geniusly written. I love it so much. And this one, unfortunately, it gets another A tier. I just like it a lot. Now this one, I think this is the one I'm going to give a C tier specifically, Dead Weight. Dead Weight was all right. Problem was, I just didn't like the idea of the murderer manipulating one of the witnesses to a romantic interaction, right? Because eventually, like, because she sees the murder happen from like, a little boat that she's riding. And everyone's telling her that she's, like, making it up. It was a mirage, etc. And eventually she believes him, which it's just so disheartening. And then the kind of ending just kind of, like, left it a little bit flat. Like, man, I guess I'll just never get with a real guy. And he's like, oh, no, my son-in-law, he... Let me tell you a story. It's so fun. Don't get me wrong. It's still fun. It's just like, you know, it doesn't really give you that sense of... What do you call it? It drags on for way too long, specifically, with the kind of manipulation tactics. And then the kind of gotcha moment is a bit... What are you going to do? Anyway, besides the point, next one, suitable for framing. This one is my favorite episode. This one gets a solid S tier, bada bing, bada boom. Because it's just the way that he's able to... It's just a simple concept. An art critic killing his uncle to get the art... But the problem is that he knows that the aunt, his divorced aunt, is going to get the art when he dies, right? When the uncle dies. So in order to do this, he has to frame the murder on his aunt so that when she's in jail, he'd get access to the inheritance, right? The genius of this show, this episode specifically, how Columbo's able to sort of get under this guy's skin, but... still skirt around his fury in beautiful ways, right? Because one of the specific ideas is that Columbo likes to learn about his subjects, likes to learn about their interests, specifically in this case, the art world. There's another episode in season two where he had to learn all about wines to catch the wine critic. Sorry, the wine connoisseur. On a specific murder, like when the wine went bad, I think there was something to do with it. I have to watch season two again. God, but in this episode, he is able to talk about art so much that throughout the entire process, when the art critic is trying to frame his aunt on his uncle's murder. By stealing one or two paintings from the crime scene and planting them inside of her house. When he's transporting the goods, as it were, Columbo's just sleeping in his house. It's so funny because he's like, oh yeah, I'm going to stop by later tonight. I'm gonna read some of your books just to get a brush up. And you just see Columbo, like when the killer is carrying these paintings. Columbo's just sleeping on the couch with like a couple books in his hand. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to... It's fine, Columbo. Just leave. Leave, Columbo. I don't like you, Columbo. You're a nasty little thing, Columbo. Oh, jeez. I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, can I see? Are those? Oh, I've been reading all about watercolors. And he touches the paintings, which is the trick, right? The trick is that Columbo touches the paintings so that when they're planted inside of the aunt's house, he's able to check for fingerprints. Because he knows that he touched those paintings. So Columbo's fingerprints would be on them. And in order to make sure no suspicion was cast on anything else, he was wearing gloves when he was... Oh, it's just... Nah! Perfect. It's beautiful. I love it so much. By the way, my dad always keeps talking about this, but like every single episode we've seen in season one, there was at least one Star Trek actor from the 70s show. I forget which one it's called. Is it Deep Space? I forget which one. Deep Space Nine? Or is it Expedition Unknown? You nerds can fill me in the description later. I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Absolutely. Besides the point, we're running out of time, so I think we gotta do a little bit of a little lightning round, maybe. Well, we got three more episodes. I think we should be fine. Let's just get a little fast with it. Lady in Waiting. Right. The idea with this one is that she knows, everyone knows that she murdered her brother for, you know, trying to play a more domineering role in her life. However, the idea is that she's trying to frame it as if he broke, quote-unquote, broke in, triggered the burglar alarm, so that she didn't know that it was her brother, because why would he break through the window? Oh, no. Terrible mistake. And eventually, she just leads into Columbo through this kind of rigmarole, like, one of the main things Columbo was trying to figure out was why there was a key-shaped hole inside of the plant pot, because she stole the key so that her brother couldn't enter the door, so she had to he had to kind of enter the other way. However, that didn't how it worked. He always keeps a spare key on him. So she just murdered him in cold blood and moved the body so it looked like he broke through the window. Besides the point, also, you know, there was a bunch of other things, like how she eventually became more and more power-hungry, which kind of led to her downfall in a very interesting way. But no, this one was an interesting one. I think it's a solid B tier. I wouldn't necessarily, it's not like a one that sticks out of my mind when I think about these shows, but I think this one's a very good one. Short Fuse! Oh, this one's a good one. My sister was joking about how one of them is like, oh, there will be one where, like, a car blows up. And I'm like, yes, actually, yes, there is one. Short Fuse is one where I think, a chemist who has a uncle who owns the company that he's a part of and wants to sell it. And fire his nephew. And if he doesn't quit on his own accord, he's going to reveal, like, scandalous things and ruin his career. He doesn't care because he's going to murder him anyway. He basically plants a box of quote-unquote cigars, which he planted bombs inside of, which blow up, which kill him and his sort of right-hand man, the uncle specifically, right? This one is an interesting one, because it goes through the motions a lot. There's another little planted evidence scene where Columbo is like, oh yeah, I got these nice box of cigars. And the entire time, he thinks that it's one of the bombs that he planted inside the car that didn't go off. So the entire time, Roger, the chemist who murdered his uncle, is like frantically trying to get Columbo to get rid of the box, and he's like, well, what's the problem? I just want to get this box of cigarettes open. He's like, Columbo, you better let go of it. It's so fun. I love it. This one's an S tier. I don't care. I don't care what you say. It's between Murder by the Book and Suitable for Framing, in my opinion. Right in between those two. Blueprint for Murder. This is the final one. It was actually written by Peter Falk himself, which is quite interesting. The whole idea with this project was that there was this kind of idea for a metropolitan, I guess, gated community city thing who was envisioned by this architect, right? He wanted to manipulate the wife of a wealthy industrialist to get more money for the project, right? Williamson, who was the wealthy industrialist in question, figures this out, comes back, is furious with him, and the architect murders him so that he can eventually frame him, like pretend that he's not murdered per se, but simply gone. Because if he was murdered, then he wouldn't get the money. It would go to the trust. But if he is missing and not technically dead, pronounced dead, then the wife would get all the money so that he can be able to pry it from her. That's the idea. So the idea now, right, is to hid the body inside of a shack, a little shed, and he was trying to get Columbo to play along, to pretend that the body is underneath, built inside the sediment, right, of the building that he's creating. Because once Columbo tries to dig it up through all of the legislature paperwork involved, he's going to look like a fool, and he's going to be able to, once the pillar is already been searched that he created, he can put the body underneath and put it back up, and no one would know because they already searched it. Why would they search it again, right? But Columbo knew this. He just had to play along. It's such a fun little... It's a fun episode. I wouldn't say it's S-tier quality, for sure, but I'd say this is high A-tier, or high A-tier in front of prescription murder. Very good. So, that makes our tier list, everybody, and we're out of time. I'd love to keep talking about Columbo, but unfortunately, we're out of time. Go watch it, please. Unfortunately, I believe they pulled Columbo. There was originally a way you could watch it through Internet Archive, but now that I think Warner Brothers, whoever owns it, I think Universal, I believe, owns it, was able to... get their rights back in order, and we had to buy the DVD. So I've been trying to get that up and running for the past couple of days. So hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll be able to watch some more Columbo, and I'll tell you how that goes next week. Next week, I think we are probably going to be talking about Ultra Kill. I didn't actually plan it. I had a bunch of other things planned, like Blasphemous, or King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, for example. But we can actually clock those two out, because they had a fun little crossover recently. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard had a few tracks that they uploaded to the infinite arena mode of the game. So, we'll be talking about Ultra Kill next week. I hope all of you have a fantastic, very studious reading week. Wink, wink. And I hope your pets are doing well. Send me pictures of pets. I want more pet pictures. Oh, give me more dog and cat pictures, maybe even fish pictures, or if you want bonus points, bunny pictures. All of them are acceptable in my book. That's your homework for this week, audience. I love you all, and I'll ladles and germs, me closing out. Bye-bye.